From the frozen lands of Minnesota, two adventurers, Adam and usually Dave, battle the harshest internet connections to bring you another episode of the Digital Soup Podcast. Their opinions are unqualified, but the conversations are good.
All right, guys, welcome back. This is episode 186 of the Digital Soup Podcast. I'm usually Dave, joined as always by my good friend Adam. And as Adam knows, and I want to just apologize to you guys up front, my voice sounds a little bit rough. There's a reason for it.
It's called allergies.
Yeah, we'll get into it in a minute. But Adam, how you been, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah,
enjoying the nice weather and all that stuff. And
you guys must be hitting around the 70s and stuff the last week.
You know what? Pert near.
Perfect.
I've been really thinking about, I don't know why, but today I was really thinking about, man, I got to get my camera out and do some photography.
Yeah?
I've just been slacking on that, and I see people posting cool pictures all the time, and I'm like, oh, that'd be nice. Oh, wait, I've got a camera, and I've got some time. So
right.
Why don't I do that? But
well, you know, you'll get
better
there.
Than sitting here popping grapes.
So. Oh, now I feel squeamish again. We won't go there. No. No, I've not been doing anything other than basically sleep and recover from pneumonia and sinus infection, which you can probably hear in my voice, but we're gonna push through it. Yeah. Just very happy, you know. We weren't sure if I was even going to be able to be on this week or what was going on because I got tested last Sunday for the dreaded coronavirus and found out today as we're recording this, we waited till a little later in the week, that test came back good, negative, no coronavirus for me right now. Not saying I couldn't pick it up in the future, but
here's my theory of what happened.
Okay.
You might have had it like trying to get into your body,
okay.
But your brain said, wait a second, I've never missed an episode of Digital Soup.
Yeah, right.
And it sent your immune system into complete overdrive, like all just brute force out. Pushed out everything.
Yeah, maybe.
Except for the existing pneumonia.
Well, yeah, it's funny because we had it all set up. You and I even told a couple of our listeners, like, man, I'm so sick. You know, friends of mine I keep in touch with. You're going to hear your first episode this week without usually Dave. First episode ever. Jason and Adam are going to do it. They're like, holy crap, really? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be weird, but it's going to happen. I no way I'm up to it. I was so sick. And I remember kind of texting you guys a little bit in our Discord chat. I've been just out of it, like fever for 4.5 days, something like that. And massive headache, just everything, just been miserable. Mm-hmm. And I remember texting you and saying, man, this really sucks. I'm super happy Jason's able to and willing to jump in and do this, but it just irritates me that this stupid coronavirus is going to cause me to miss my first ever episode. But, and then things fell through. Jason couldn't do it. Poor guy. I felt so bad. And I said, don't worry about it. I'm on the mend. We'll push it to later in the week and we'll make it work. So
someday.
Someday.
Someday. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, do it.
What fictional character do you absolutely hate?
Fiction. You know, this may get me some hate myself.
Yep.
I am not a fan of SpongeBob. Really don't care for that stupid cartoon.
Hmm.
Don't know why. I know a lot of people absolutely love it. A lot of adults love it. Well, there's probably quite a few now that as I start thinking about
it. Well, I can totally see being annoyed by it.
Yeah. It's got a very
unique voice.
Well, and, you know, I don't mind the Dauber, his character, Patrick the Starfish or whatever. He's okay, I guess, but he's just stupid. But
yeah,
I don't know. The whole show, but SpongeBob, that whole... Every character on that show, for the most part, I mean, not a fan.
Okay.
How about you? Give me some couple that you hate.
You know, the first one that popped into my mind was Billy Zane's character in Titanic.
I mean, he's not such a bad guy, we heard. Remember?
Yeah, Billy Zane might not be, but his character was.
Well, no, remember it was like a couple episodes ago that maybe he wasn't such a bad guy. He just was hurt and lonely.
I'm not buying that stuff. He tried to commit murder towards the end of the movie. You could say it was out of passion, but we just watched that movie with my oldest one wanted to see it.
Oh yeah,
it's like, man, I really want to slap Billy Zane right now.
I'm trying to think who, like, movie wise, like real person, not cartoon characters. I don't know why when I saw fictional character, I instantly went to like cartoons. I don't know.
No, that counts. Any fictional character.
I know it counts, but I think it's some telling about me, at least at this point, that I'm totally...
Along your lines, I'm going to go with the nerdy glasses kid from Polar Express.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I've complained about that before. Yeah. I'll give you a real world one, or a real person, I guess. Well, it's a fictional character, but on Parks and Rec, because I've been spending a lot of time on my couch watching that. The character of John Ralphio.
You don't like that guy?
I don't like that guy. Oh, he's such an idiot. I can't stand him.
All right.
His character, I mean, not the actor.
Parks and Rec is actually doing a reunion episode, right?
Did you hear anything about that? I did, and I can't remember when it airs. But they're doing essentially a Zoom meeting where Leslie is going to be checking in on all the team. And I really need to see it. It's going to air on NBC, I believe.
Well, I can't imagine it not being on NBC, but yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I can't remember when that was supposed to air. It's sometime pretty soon, I believe. Yeah,
it's got to be hopefully before the everyone goes back to normal.
Yeah.
Oh, it says right here, the new episode will air April 30th. Hey, that's
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow as of today's recording. So
right.
For everybody else, it'll be the day before you hear this.
It'd be yesterday.
8:30 Eastern on NBC.
I'm excited. I just got to over almost to the end of season 3 now, because they really got long in their seasons, like 25 episodes a season or whatever. They're only 20 minutes long, but still it takes a while. But I'm at the point where she just announced she's running for city council or whatever. So she had to break up with Ben, and yeah, good stuff.
All right. This next question, I specifically thought only Dave's going to be able to answer this because you seem to know these.
Oh, so boy.
I'm not going to have an answer for this, but what fan theory about a movie, TV show, or video game do you see as 100% canon?
Oh, man. And this is a great question, because I know there's probably a few that I think in my head would make sense, but
throughout the history of our show, Dave has always been the one
that
has come up with, like, hey, this could be a possibility.
Now I'm trying to think, because and it's so hard. My brain is just not functioning in peak form, you know?
Yeah, I shouldn't have asked you this.
I'm like on the spot. That's the one thing I love is answering these on the spot. And normally I'd probably have something like, oh yeah, this one. This is one. I know there was one about Endgame that we had talked about, and it's never been proven official or not, but I kind of really feel like that's where they're going with it, and in what I like to call as canon, but I cannot remember what it was. If it was something with the time travel and.
Okay. Well, let me throw a few at you, a few conspiracy theories that are out there. You give me your response and your feedback on this.
Let's do one of them.
Is that Breaking Bad is actually the Walking Dead prequel.
That one I've heard a lot, and being I've watched very little of either show, from what I know of them, it actually looks, I've seen that conspiracy theory, and the case they make for it looks very, very convincing.
Hmm. Well, here's one that says
it's tied to there's certain references to the blue meth and whatever else they're doing. There's a few specific references that are in both places that show up and are very interesting.
Yeah. But I do know a lot of shows will throw Easter eggs, you know, at each other mm-hmm. and that stuff. Here's an interesting one. Speaking of Titanic, there is a theory that Jack Dawson was from the future. Have you heard this one?
I have not. Who would he be in the future?
This fan theory posits that Jack is actually a time traveler who came back in time to keep Rose from committing suicide, because that would have caused a delay in the ship's course and potentially kept the Titanic from crashing, altering the course of history.
Oh, so he just was there to serve his purpose anyways.
Yep.
How was maybe he wasn't supposed to? It was a suicide mission, wasn't supposed to make it out.
I don't know.
Maybe that's why he couldn't get on the door with her, even though there was clearly room, Rose.
Exactly. Exactly.
He knew he couldn't survive. Okay, he had to give it up.
So far, that seems to be the closest one that we might accept as canon.
I'd accept it, yeah. Right, time traveler.
There's one that Sandy died at the beginning of Greece.
You know, that one I do believe. I've heard that one a number of times, too. I forgot about it. Like I said, brain doesn't...
At the end, they're flying off in a convertible and waving goodbye to their friends.
Well, and it's not only that, but the way the whole thing is set up, the very beginning when they're out and he rescues her when she drowns, that's the theory, is that she's drowning right there. And what you're seeing is her basically death dream, essentially, as she's drifting off into death from drowning. All of this is playing out in her head as the happy ever end. Happy ending, happy ever after, that she was hoping for but doesn't get.
Ah. Now, how about this one? Scooby-Doo is about kids trying to escape the draft. So this theory, because the show premiered in 69, the same year as the height of the Vietnam War, the Scooby gang is driving to Canada to escape the draft. And because they're four dissimilar teenagers deciding to travel in a van with no known destination. And the theory says that clean-cut Fred was drafted but ran away to be with his fiancée Daphne. Hippie Shaggy and activist Velma join them as they both oppose the war. let's see here. Nemo was an imaginary device for Marlin to come to terms with his wife's death.
Well... maybe, I guess.
Walter White was Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle.
I don't think I've heard that one. That's awesome. Well,
okay, a little bit of detail on that one. This is a very interesting theory. It says that Malcolm grew up to be Walter White. Malcolm was very intelligent and had a knack for chemistry, but was also stubborn and manipulative, which are shared qualities with Walter. Plus, he would probably grow up to look like his father. In terms of name, Malcolm's surname is never spoken in the show. And we see that he has a special relationship with his grandfather, Walter, on his dad's side.
Huh. So Malcolm in the Middle to Breaking Bad to Walking Dead.
Yep.
Now we need a connection from Walking Dead to something else.
Malcolm in the Middle would therefore be the prequel to Walking Dead.
Well, the prequel to the prequel.
Right. Willy Wonka killed and sacrificed this kid's cabin in the woods style. Let's see.
That's dark, but.
Let's see here. Hardy's Mad Max is actually the feral kid from Road Warrior. That one's, I'd have to rewatch.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Of course, one of the big ones was that Jar Jar Binks was a Sith Lord, which I'll never buy into.
Yeah,
that's what you think.
I can't remember the exact arguments they made why that was the case. Do you remember? Super detailed, but
right. So the theory is that he's this highly skilled force user in terms of martial ability and mind control who keeps his powers veiled. And they highlight his sinister moves, saying that Jar Jar and Palpatine were likely in collaboration from the beginning.
Well, didn't that rumor really pick up steam when the last film came out? Because wasn't there something where you saw kind of a reference to Jar Jar? But he wasn't in it, but maybe the Gungans or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining things.
So there was a post on Reddit, and that's kind of where this theory came from, where the user Lumpowaru, this is 4 years ago, with almost 67,000 likes on it. He says, "Here I will seek to establish that Jar Jar Binks, far from being simply the bumbling idiot he portrays himself as, is in fact a highly skilled force user in terms of martial ability and mind control. Furthermore, I assert he was not, as many people assume, just an unwitting political tool manipulated by Palpatine." So he has examples of Jar Jar nonchalantly executing a standing 20-foot twisting somersault. when he jumps, I think that's when he jumps into the water. You know, we always thought it was dumb luck that he showed up with the Jedi, but I don't know. There's a huge, like, that could be an episode in itself breaking that down. So
yeah,
I think my top answer that I heard from you that sounds the most solid is that Sandy actually died and drowned at the beginning of Grease.
Let's tie that with Jack being a time traveler in Titanic.
Yeah,
because I like that makes one. That movie infinitely cooler.
Well, that'd be awesome if you could create a sequel to Titanic where it shows Jack, you know, floating down to the down, you know, he's floating down, which humans aren't supposed to do, but he's right. Floating down. All of a sudden you see him like dissolve as he's pulled back into regular time where they revive him. It's like mission accomplished. It's the year 2953.
Yeah. And he's Bill Paxton.
Yep. And he's Bill Paxton in Aliens.
Oh, I'm back in this mess.
How does he just turn into Bill Paxton? I don't know.
Okay. What wasn't no
Bill a special theory fan? What if
wasn't Bill Paxton the guy, the treasure hunter that was interviewing the old lady Rose, right? So so what if that same guy?
Oh, what if it was him?
Him, but then it's the him that's interviewing the old lady is like the present day him. The him that's Jack went back in time from the future. Follow me? So old lady Bill Paxton, Jack and Rose, the characters we know in the films, and then there's a version of Jack / Bill Paxton from the future that goes back in time to cause all of that.
Ah.
And he's kind of greedy, so he also wants to know where that diamond was.
That was his whole motivation the entire time, probably.
Yeah, like
he couldn't find it the first time around, so he traveled back in time to try to get psychologically manipulate Rose into giving it up.
And then
only to fall for her.
Yeah, and at the end of it all, he realizes, okay, it still sank. The world.
Oh, and that's where he rematerializes in the water and catches it because she dropped it.
Yeah, he's got it now. He's like, yes. When she throws it at the end of the movie,
yep, exactly.
He's out there like a mermaid.
he comes back. That's like a mergoat.
Yeah, mergoat.
He comes back forward in time, catches. What are we talking about?
I don't know. I love it.
This is a great episode. All right, we're going to have one just on theories.
All right.
That was good. So aliens abduct you.
Uh-huh.
And they decide to use you as their standard human sample. What false conclusions do they draw from you about the human race?
Well, that we're all probably bald and have tons of facial hair.
We've all got pneumonia.
Yeah, we're all extremely compromised immune systems.
Yeah. We're all a little bit heavier on the midriff.
We apparently all live in sweatpants and sweatshirts and t-shirts. That's
actually true.
I was going to say, that's kind of true. I mean, other than that, the obvious, like for me, it's, I think like the glasses, whatever else. I mean, I don't know, like, would they know like personality traits? You know what I mean? Would they have a way to see like a sense of humor, for example, or... You know, things like that, or is there, when they see a human sample, are they like, here's a fat guy and appears to be about 40 years old or more? And I
think if they use me as a sample, they'd be like, humans are salty. This guy, you know, you're talking about grocery store samples, maybe that's what they're doing.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird question.
Maybe they're like, thank you, may I have another, and throw me right in the waste bin.
I need another dive.
No, they're like, no one needs more of this. Thank you, may I have another. Like,
depending on who they pick up, some are already spoiled.
Yeah.
Veruca Salt.
Yeah.
What movie got ruined for you before you got to see it?
Oh, to be honest, I there's been a lot of them, because when I used to work at the theater, I'd end up seeing everything, but it's inevitable. Yeah. People come walking out of there talking about it. They're not talking to you, but you hear it, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and I suppose. There was tons of them back then. The Fifth Element was like that. I mean, the Titanic. I didn't know that boat sank. But
ship crashed. What the?
Yeah.
There's time travel involved?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was listening to this podcast and they told me this guy.
The first movie I actually ruined for myself was Blair Witch Project. And the reason being, I think I was in college at the time when the news started coming out about that, like some websites like, oh, it's missing footage. Like, wait a second. Is this real?
Yeah.
So I oversleuthed it, you know, being an internet junkie. And I'm like, it's not.
That one, surprisingly, I did not get that one ruined for me.
The other one was my step-grandfather, when it came to, which he ruined one of the movies for me. Basically, big time spoiler. We were out to eat. And it was family, you know, and we were talking about Gran Torino.
Oh yeah.
Spoiler alert. You've seen it, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So everybody that doesn't want to know the ending, skip 15 seconds, but he's like, yeah, he gets it in the end. And my cousin goes, what did you, you ruined it. He's like, yeah. it's ruined. It was great. Like, you know, I watched it anyway. It's a good movie.
Yeah, there's some movies that I'd be irate if someone spoiled for me. Mm-hmm. Other ones that are like, it doesn't really matter as much. Like, and this is weird because, say Star Wars, for example, those ones, I'm not worried about spoilers. You kind of know what's going to happen. Yeah, there's going to be some plot twist. And
if somebody had spoiled Empire Strikes Back for you, though.
Well, maybe that original trilogy, and maybe someone did for, I saw it when I was young.
Yep.
8 years old or something. Who knows? But I mean, the newer ones and, you know, the prequels, all that, I heard spoilers for all the prequels and it didn't bother me. I still went and watched them. You kind of knew what you were in for. The last trilogy was a little different because you kind of wanted to find out. There was a few storylines you wanted to find out about. But had they been spoiled, I still would have seen the films. On the flip side of that, between Infinity War and Endgame, because you knew people were going to die and you knew certain heroes were going to go. And it's like, no, I don't want to know. I want to just see it unfold. Don't tell me anything, you know, where it's like that.
So my oldest daughter has been watching the Marvel movies, not in chronological order, but in the order they were released.
Right. The true chronological order.
To me makes sense.
Okay.
You should always watch the movie. They put them out in an order for a reason.
Yeah. So,
but she's got friends that have seen all of them, of course. And like, in Infinity War. And she's like, shut up. Nope. She has not spoiled it for herself.
How far in is she now?
We're at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. So you're getting there. I keep seeing Chris Pratt in, Parks and Rec as Andy Dwyer. And all I can think, you can see as the series is going on and getting closer, you can start to see him start getting into better and better shape. Mm-hmm. And I never noticed it until this time. It really clicked for me. And there was one episode I watched where he made a comment in a sentence like to April, like, I will be your guardian, you know, whatever else. And then he says something literally about the second sentence after that, like, I love you the most in the whole galaxy or something like that. And it's like, nice. I wonder if he knew, and that was just a little like secret. I gotta say something.
Probably.
It's cool.
Very nice. What is the strangest thing you've ever found?
Oh, don't boy.
Say beaver skull.
Oh,
but
boy.
I know you go through the woods and find stuff.
I do. I found lots of strange things in the woods. You remember, I think I've mentioned the story here once, fairly early on. It was a couple springtimes ago. Snow was still melting. I was out doing some shed hunting, looking for deer sheds, and came walking across this hillside. And when you're looking for deer sheds or shed deer horns, if you didn't know what that was, when the deer drop their horns in the wintertime, a lot of times as the snow melts and it's laying, everything's brown and, you know, nothing's greened up yet. And the deer horn, if it's been out exposed to the sun, it'll look white, you know, or it can look very light colored, like that sticks out. So I seen something from a ways away that was really white colored. And I thought, oh, what's this? And so I went over there only to find a whole bunch of pages of a nasty porn mag way back in the woods. You remember when I told you about that?
Yeah, I remember that story.
And yeah, it was just, I mean, way back in the woods and just random. I mean, it wasn't on any roads or trails, just randomly in the woods. And it was a bunch of pages ripped out, all there and intact. And I was like, what the heck? I took some pictures with my phone just because I knew people wouldn't believe me when I, you know, told them. But yeah, it was, that was one of the weirdest things.
That is, yeah, that is pretty weird. I growing up on the range in the Iron Range and living on dirt roads and stuff, you would find those sitting in the ditches and all that kind of stuff. Not necessarily strange, but there was it was more sad. When I remember as a kid walking and I found a box with a dead Dalmatian puppy in it.
Oh.
Like somebody had, they couldn't, people used to drop off animals all the time in the woods. Like it was cruel.
Right.
Like I'd find boxes of kittens at the end of the, you know, at the end of the road, I suppose, and stuff like that. And I was the one that I would take it and I'd drive them over to the Humane Society and drop them off, those poor people there. Just because I didn't want responsibility for them, but I just felt so bad because there's cute little kittens. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Let's see, anything really, really weird.
I'm thinking, you know,
The only other really strange thing. So I grew up, you know, up by where you're at, of course.
Yep.
And we had a lot of acreage out in the woods. And Minnesota, northern Minnesota, deep woods is thick.
Yep.
I mean, you can't see through it barely. So north of my house, we were walking through the woods and we found the remains of like an old like cabin.
Yep.
It was, but it was, nothing was standing. It was all just dilapidated.
Fallen and down. Fallen over. An old trapper shack.
Yep. And when I think about it, it was, you know, those kind of old shacks, there's stuff there still. There was, you know, tea kettles and coffee pots and all tin and metal stuff. But it was all riddled with bullet holes.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, it was probably from people just shooting it and stuff. But I always wondered, like, was there a shootout here?
Yeah. Is there a skeleton somewhere around? I used to find those in the woods. I still could probably navigate to about three or four different ones, or what's left of them now.
Right.
Because they've been reclaimed a bit.
And I live in a spot now where I can't go explore the woods really, because it's always somebody else's property.
Yeah.
But that's what got me into, like, I always wanted to get into metal detecting. So I ended up getting a nice metal detector. And
I've never done it because I don't know why I haven't, but I've never done it, but always wanted to. But I mean, I found,
it's fun.
I send pictures to you guys a lot of times when I find stuff in the woods, but I found everything from giant, like 6 foot long by 4 feet tall, vintage signs from old tire shops that haven't been in the area for.
Oh, you could resell that stuff.
It's half buried in the dirt and half of it's eaten away. And it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. I found one time I was walking way, way in the woods at the edge of these pines and like a big pine swamp bog, and then it comes up on a hill, so it's kind of sandy hills with pines. Right on the edge there, I was walking, I saw something catch the light as I was walking by, just real small. I went, you know, bent down, picked it up. It was only about 2 inches, 3 inches tall, this old glass bottle, intact, lid still on it and everything else, no liquid inside of it, it was just empty. But it was a bottle, I can't remember what the brand was, like Watkins or something like that. Sure. I believe it was like a root beer extract for making homemade root beer from like the 1900s. Just some random glass bottle. It's at my parents' house still. I mean, I found lots of stuff like that. It's not really strange or weird, but the location of where it is always the weird part.
I've always wanted to find like a hidden bunker or something cool.
Yeah.
But it's just never happened.
Kick off your own Goonies adventure.
Exactly. Man, the Goonies is awesome.
So I'm going to ask you one question. You ready for this?
Ready.
So if you could steal one thing in the world other than money without getting caught, what would it be?
I don't want to steal anything.
No one, you're not going to get caught. Well, you basically got permission to take one thing in the world.
Okay. All right.
I'm giving you permission. You don't have to break the rules.
Oh, man.
Anything in the world except money.
What's the most valuable thing in the world?
Depends. That's
the diapers?
Well, kind of depends on where you're at in your life.
Probably
I suppose.
Use one of those. Yeah. Maybe like a Da Vinci painting.
Yeah.
Maybe the Mona Lisa.
What would you do with it?
Like, just hang that up.
Would you want something like that on your wall?
No.
No.
But I'd resell it.
Yeah, and that's
then you could basically get what you know. What? Let me look up what's a Mona Lisa worth.
Oh, it's a couple million at least.
$100 million.
Yeah. Just a couple.
Oh, man.
See, I don't know if I think if I was going to do it, I'd want to do it something that would benefit me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's worth $700 million today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Huh. It'll never sell, though.
$700 million buy a lot of cheeseburgers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know what I would steal. I think if I did it.
It's hard to say, honestly.
It'd be tempting to go for something like high value, like, oh, a Lamborghini or, you know, whatever else. But it's also like, well, if I'm going to go through all the trouble and I can do this, and yeah, I'm not going to get caught, not going to get in trouble, but I'd want it to be something I'm going to enjoy.
Here you go. I want the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. Wait for it.
Then you just got to go find Ben Franklin's glasses so you can read the secret map on the back of the Dakota right. Ring. That's the answer.
That's a good answer. I can't fault you there. I was going to say, I would maybe steal the...
When it's rolled up in a scroll form,
yeah,
it's like holding a freedom stick.
Oh,
freedom stick. A stick of freedom.
Kind of like
a baton of freedom.
I heard Southern folk have that saying a lot. Freedom stick.
Freedom stick.
No.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not going to elaborate. Excuse me. I was thinking, you know, what about like the Snyder Cut?
The Snyder Cut of the
Batman v Superman or whatever. No, I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
If you could go back in time and like grab an item before it disappeared off the face of the planet, what would have been?
Boy, I don't know. I'm trying to think what's disappeared.
Ships.
Well, ships and but
the
I
Hope
mean,
Diamond from Titanic. If you could travel back in time and stop Rose.
Wait a minute.
Let's Jack? Say your name was, I don't know, Jack.
Jack, is that you?
Dawson?
No, I this will sound maybe weird and controversial, but I'm just kind of curious. I'd like to see what was actually there, if they're even true and exist, is like there's always the rumored like full books of like the Bible text or whatever that they say, you know, they say that we only are allowed to see a portion. The rest have been destroyed or whatever.
What about the library at Kush?
Yeah. Something like that, where it would unlock knowledge and you know, kind of just give you like the missing pieces to everything.
Or was it Kush or where was that library that got destroyed?
Was it? You're asking the guy who can't think for
ancient library destroyed by fire. Which is it? Oh, the Library of Alexandria.
Oh, Alexandria. Yeah, yeah.
So it was one of the largest libraries in the ancient world, containing works by the greatest thinkers and writers of antiquity, including Homer, Plato, Socrates, and many more.
Right.
So, and that was in Egypt. It's believed to have been destroyed by a huge fire about 2,000 years ago, and all of its works were lost.
Something like that would be like, that'd be pretty rad.
Yeah. I'll just steal the whole library.
Yeah.
No one will miss it. It's mine.
Use the PIM particle.
Yep. I'll put it out on the back 40.
And then you, well, then you could just set it on your shelf. And if you want to read something, you take it out to the back 40, blow it up, go get what you want, shrink her back down.
Hire Project Gutenberg to scan all that. We're gold. Yeah. All right, let's get into some recommendations.
And now, Digital Soup Recommendations.
Okay, my recommendation today is the website haveibeenpwned.com. So we've often talked about cybersecurity and everything on this podcast, and I know we've discussed it before, but it's always a good idea to go back in here to haveibeenpwned.com, that's P-W-N-E-D, and punch your email address in there, and they will search through their databases to see if you're on any lists of anything that's been pwned. For instance, my email address has been pwned on 17 breached sites. Sweet.
You know, this is funny. I just plugged in my oldest email address I have, the one I thought would have the highest number of breaches.
Yep.
An old Yahoo address I've got. Only 3.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No.
But this is just a good site in general to have.
That's very good.
To check up on your own security. And they will give you some suggestions about, you know, any breaches that you were compromised in and stuff like that. So anyway, what's your recommendation today, Dave?
Well, I'm going to recommend a podcast. This is one I listened to a little while back, and I didn't want to give you too many in a row, but this is another audio drama.
I haven't listened to the last one you gave me, but
yeah, this one is called Blood Ties. It's done by the Wondery, which they do a lot of amazing, like, historical and factual type of NPR style, podcast. But this one is a fictional story. It says our family members are not always who we think. And it starts off, I'll just kind of read you the description here. When Eleanor and Michael Richland, who are played by Jillian Jacobs and Josh Gad, so a really big cast, lose their parents unexpectedly in a small plane crash, they must choose between two very different paths. Honor their father's legacy as a world-renowned cardiologist and healthcare magnate, or risk everything for the truth. So
healthcare magnate?
Magnate. I'm sorry, I said there. M-A-G-N-A-T-E.
Which one was the healthcare magnate?
The father. You know, the heart one.
No. So he was attractive?
No.
Was he always negative?
No, he was all right. Okay. But yeah, this series, it's only, I believe, like 6 episodes long. It's not real long, this first season. 6 or 8 episodes, something like that. And very, very quick listen, nothing too drastic. Really well done, scripted, acted, and a very compelling story. And what's best is that this one is definitely more than one season. There'll be more coming. And it really sets it up nicely, and I'm very excited for it. And it's set in, like, real world. It's not supernatural. It's not, you know, back in time. It's in today's modern world. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very awesome and rad. Today, I'm going to be adding. I was supposed to get you some songs for our other one. I forgot to send that over to you.
That's all right. Read them out, and
we'll do that.
We'll do those after.
Yeah, for starters, adding to the Digital Soup Spotify playlist, a little bit of hip-hop, local Minnesota hip-hop from a group called Doomtree, and the song is called Bangarang.
Mm-hmm.
This, I don't know, I always like this song. I don't know why, it's just kind of cool.
How would you explain it?
It's a rap song.
Yeah, but it's kind of got almost like a EDM beats, kind of, at least in parts of it to me. It had like that...
Oh.
Maybe not EDM. That's not the right.
I don't consider it EDM. It's more. It's a little more. It's not like the current rap kind of beats that you hear.
Right.
You
know, it's a. It's like
deep
that
bass and stuff.
Yeah. It's, upbeat kind of like. That, I mean, that genre to me a little bit.
Yeah, it's more of a pew pew.
Yeah, pew pew pew.
You almost have to, you know what? You just have to listen to it.
Yep,
people. You have to listen to it.
It's
and figure
fun.
It out.
It's fun.
I did not get a chance to listen to yours, but what do you got?
Okay, so I. Prior to getting sick, I had set mine up, all of this stuff, and I had rediscovered in a playlist somewhere, I was listening through a band called Days of the New from 2007. It was a grunge playlist I was listening to, and it's a self-titled album by a band called Days of the New, And the song I chose is one of their couple hits off the album called The Shelf in the Room. It is classic. I would say classic 90s grunge, but this was 2007, I think.
Really? Okay, I'm looking at their YouTube thing and it says 1998.
No, it is. That's right. I'm thinking, I don't know what that 2007 is. I think maybe they re-released it or something. It was 90s because I remember having this just out of high school. 1998, you said?
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah, okay. It's definitely, it's listen to it now, it's 90s.
Acoustic grunge, yeah, it sounds very 90s, and I was just in a mood to hear that, and it's just kind of fun, you know? It's mellow, because it's not real hardcore, like electric hardcore guitars. Parkour. Yeah, you're not hearing a ton of distortion, it's all pretty much just guitar, drums, and bass, but that 90s kind of feel with some, the guy's vocals, they don't soar like Chris Cornell, but kind of similar in that tone, I guess. So yeah, they weren't a huge band, I don't think, but they were a lot of fun. And that song in particular, there was a couple that were good, but just jumped out at me. And so I thought, what the heck, let's do it. So now you mentioned we had some listener submissions, and we had one last week from friend of the show, Aunt Pruitt. What we've done, because we were talking about how we want to handle this with our recommendations and our playlist and everything else. If you guys have some songs you want us to check out, absolutely send them to one of us, let us know, and give us a link, whatever it is. And what we've done is we've created a second playlist, official Digital Soup playlist. We're calling it the Super Friends playlist, I believe it was. Something like that, I can tell you in 1 second. But anything you guys, I mean, keep it classy. Don't send stuff in just to kind of be a jerk and say, this will be funny. But if you've got some songs you really like, send it in. We won't be
putting Two Live Crew in there or right sketches.
Yeah, you know, we're going to keep it, you know, it could have some swear words if it's not just like you said, just obscenely gross.
We hereby reserve the right to pick and choose whatever we want to add to.
Basically, yes. If you send something and we just don't want to put it in our playlist, we just won't. But we'll check it out. And the list is called Super Friends Playlist. I'll link it up on our website here as soon as I'm feeling a little better. And we've got a few songs that Adam had sent to him as well, right?
Jesse sent these in to me.
Yeah. What did I just say? Yep.
You said Adam sent to him.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Dave's drunk. All right.
No, I'm not drunk. I'm pneumonia and sinus infection.
Yeah, nice excuse, Dave.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I'm just going to go through this list of songs because I got several of them, and they're actually pretty good. They're not all the same genre, but there's a band called Beauty Pill, and there's a song called Exit Without Saving.
And then I'm pulling them up right now. Okay. What, do you know anything about that one?
I don't. I listened to each of them once and I enjoyed them all.
Okay.
And so we'll end up just adding these to the playlist. You'll have to check them out.
Got it.
Dawson Hollow. That's Dawson Hollow. They have a song called Fire and Flood, and it's not the Fire and Flood song you're thinking of.
Fire and Flood, Dawson Hollow. Oh, Fire. Not, yeah. Vance Joy is the.
Yeah. It's not the. Not. Fire and the Flood.
Yeah.
There's one that Jesse really, really enjoys called The War Was in Color by Carbon Leaf. That's a good tune. It's basically like a soldier singing.
I like the cover.
The past.
Yeah. I'm pulling them up and adding them as we talk.
Okay. And then the last one is a song called Green by Ben Rector. Yeah. Dang near Gilder. Am I right? No? That's a cool song.
That one came up somewhere before. I think he recommended it to Jason at one point.
Oh, possibly.
And Jason, I think, really dug that as well. And he sent me one more that he, after he sent you, he goes, I feel like I don't want to bother Adam, because little backstory, he sent them to me, but I was busy at work. And I said, hey, or he was going to send them to me. I've got a few I'll add. I said, hey, love to hear him, but do me a favor, send them to Adam and he'll have no idea why he's getting random song recommendations from you. And so he did that. But then afterwards he goes, I feel bad. I don't want him to feel like I'm spamming him in text messages here, but he had one more song called Teardrop from The Naked and Famous. So We've got now, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in that playlist. So if you guys want to have us check something out, or you want to share something with your other super friends and say, hey, I'm into this music, what else are you into? Let us know. We'll add it there as well. Just shoot us a message. Probably Twitter, easiest way.
That'll work. Yep, that'll work.
And if you're not on Twitter, get a hold of us any way you can. Let us know, hey, I want to hear, you should check out this song. I love it. So, and
yep.
We made you your own playlist to go with our official Digital Soup playlist. So go check those out. I hope you guys are enjoying those.
You better enjoy it.
I'm having fun with it. I don't know about you, but.
Well, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. I do have a negative recommendation today.
Yes.
And I was kind of talking to Dave about this, but we might start adding in things that really annoy us sometimes.
A rantamendation.
Yeah. Rantamendation.
Yes.
So this is about a game I play on the Xbox called PUBG. You might have heard of it. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. It's one of the
most... Got my John Ralphio on.
It's awesome. So it is one of the most popular Battle Royale games out there. And something really, really, in my opinion, dumb just happened with this game. And that is the developers and the company that runs PUBG decided with their latest release that they were going to add bots to the game.
Like,
and what I mean by that is artificial intelligence, like computer-based players to fill the lobbies up if they weren't getting full. And they kind of, they released a message talking about how this is supposed to be for, you know, new players who they want them to feel good about the game. Cause this, if you've never played PUBG before, you die about 400 times before you kill anybody. It's really difficult to actually get any good. I'm still not good at it, but, one of the most enjoyable things about this game is when you get a kill in it, or if you eventually somehow win, which is nearly impossible, you know, without putting a lot of time into it. That's where the reward is. But it's always nice knowing that you're up against, and this is what kind of makes the game exciting. You're up against other people.
Right.
Just like when we got to that end circle when we used to play Apex Legends.
Yeah.
And you were in that last, you know, these are real people playing.
Well, yeah.
And so what they did is they said, oh, we're going to put some bots in there because the new players might be getting disheartened, you know, that they're dying right away and stuff. And we want them to feel good about themselves. Well, that's great. Except what they found is like, right away with the update, people were jumping into lobbies. You can have a maximum of 100 players.
Mm-hmm.
More than 80 of the players were bots.
Oh, man.
These games. And you could tell because they had an underscore in the name and they were terrible. They'd like, they had their movement and everything was just dumb. They'd stand out in the open and just take burst shots at you and they'd miss most of the time. So reading all this stuff, I jump onto the game yesterday right after work. And I land on one of the bigger maps. It's this desert map called Miramar. And it's just a solo game. And I encounter and kill 7 people during the course of this game. Now, I rarely ever get that many kills in a game.
Right.
I'm not very good. Each one of them had that underscore in their name.
Yeah.
And at the very end of the final circle, because just like any Battle Royale game, the circle starts to close.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the top 2. Like, well, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then I see a player running, you know, towards me, you know, from a distance. So I take some shots. That person stops behind a rock. And then, you know, the zone got him and they died and I won. I didn't kill a single actual human player.
Oh, man.
And the satisfaction level from having played this so many, you know, so many thousands of matches and then, you know, to just hop in, not encounter even, other than that, I think that last player was a person.
Right.
But every kill was a bot that offered no challenge.
Oh,
it took away all the fun and like the anxiety out of the game and that it's like, oh, I can just kill all these things and then I won.
What do they call that, nerfing a game?
Pretty much. And yeah. I mean, this is, I think I've only won like 2 solo matches in the last year. And then the first thing with this update is I go out and win a match killing 7 bots.
Yeah. Oh boy.
And it has made the PUBG community just irate, and rightfully so, because this is a game that people have invested a lot of time in, and now it's not challenging anymore. They took away all that fun.
Right.
You know, and
even
new players are like, you know what? I don't mind getting killed right away. I know I have to get better.
Right.
And you know,
well, yeah, you can't expect to be the best first. Yeah, I agree. I second that rantamendation.
All right. So That's my rant. You know what really grinds my gears? All right, we better hear from ourselves before we move on. Good Lord.
Hey, super friends. As you know, we don't have any fancy sponsors, but we do have some important information for you, so listen up. First, if you want to keep up with everything we're doing here at Digital Soup, including how to find us on social media, all the ways to subscribe, and even how to support the show, head to digitalsouppodcast.com. We appreciate all of your support, including sharing Digital Soup with your friends. But if you want to do more than share, hit that button that says Patreon on the site and help support the show by becoming a Digital Soup Patreon backer.
Of course, Dave and I stay busy with our own projects outside of the kitchen as well. Dave is having creativity-fueled discussions designed to motivate, inspire, and encourage you along your own adventures in creativity with the Adventures in Creativity podcast. You'll find him at AICpod.com. And if you're interested in some amazing sci-fi stories from years gone by, I've got you covered with Yesterday's Sci-Fi. These are amazing, classic sci-fi stories in an audiobook format. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to yesterdayssci-fi.com for all the details.
Man, that's a lot, huh? Well, just remember this. DigitalSoupPodcast.com, yesterdayssci-fi.com, and AICpod.com. Now then, thank you again, all of you that are listening, for taking time to join us every week, and let's get back to the show.
Well said, us. All right. So for the next 10, 15 minutes, I think we're going to talk about, and I know we've joked about this not being a food show, but with the pandemic here and everybody cooking at home, we've got to talk about the top 10 best barbecue foods.
Yeah.
And this is according to a list on firstwefeast.com.
Yep. And I will throw this in here also. This is put together by a James Beard Award-winning reporter and columnist at the Washington Post, Tim Carman, for this website. The guy knows his stuff, you know, if he's winning that kind of awards, because that you get that for being a food guy. So,
ooh. Man, just looking at these pictures, and I already ate, but
yeah,
I want some of this food.
And so I have very little appetite because of the said pneumonia and stuff, yep. And it's making me want to feast right now.
Have you been able to eat anything?
I've been eating, but it's boring stuff, just enough to keep sustenance in me. Granola like bars, oatmeal, grapes. And no grapes. granola bars, popping oatmeal, grapes.
Okay,
like tuna fish sandwiches, stuff like that.
All right. Well, this just reading this story might bring your appetite back. Number 10 is the beef rib.
Yeah.
We always are talking about pork spare ribs or baby back ribs, which mm-hmm. are fantastic. But this cut of meat is actually quite awesome. Mm-hmm. But you do have to put a lot of time into this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and actually most barbecue, if you're going to smoke over indirect or anything mm-hmm. like that, it's going to take time. But yeah, these, according to the article, these monster bones have been popping up in smokehouses across the country from New York to L.A.
Yeah.
And they are without question one of the most visually arresting proteins known in the barbecue universe. Wow, so, well written.
Yeah. Like I said, this list is probably one of the, I didn't look through all of it. I just saw the number 10 and number 9, and I was like, okay, this looks like fun. So I have no idea what's coming up, but.
All right.
This I list from down what I've, the intro I read and everything, it's very well written, very well thought out. So you guys should give this one a look, and if you agree or disagree, take it up with Mr. Tim.
Yeah, somebody else.
Question for you.
Nine? Oh, go ahead.
Well, real quick question on ribs. Are you a slather on the sauce guy, keep repeated slathers as it's going, or are you a dry rub guy?
I'm a dry rub guy.
Yeah.
Sauce at the end to get the glaze.
Best ribs I ever had. Friend of mine, the spring we were graduating, he was barbecuing ribs, and I don't even know what kind they were. They were in big sheets still. They were all attached, you know, still. And big slabs of ribs, and they were all just dry rub. And no mm-hmm. barbecue sauce on them after, just dry rub. You pulled them off the grill. They were so tender, just pull off big chunks together. They were the best ribs I have ever had.
Yep.
He had barbecue sauce on the side if you wanted to dip the meat in or whatever, but didn't need it. It was amazing.
Well, a lot of cuts have enough fat and marbling in them mm-hmm. that it'll mix with those spices.
Yeah.
And it's basically its own sauce.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
What do you got for number nine here?
Number nine, the classic side dish, baked beans. You know, it says, like they say now, baked beans, there's a little controversy over what baked beans are. You've got your, you know, Texas region, which likes their pinto bean form. You got, you know, other versions, maybe more navy beans, whatever it is. Bacon in there, brisket, who knows? But whatever it is, baked beans as a side dish, I think are pretty dang
pretty
go-to
solid
clutch.
Honestly, I don't think I've had one that I've liked other than Bush's. Bush's baked beans.
For real?
Yeah, I've never really had good home baked beans.
Oh, man, I have.
I haven't tried making them.
If you do it, they're not that hard. Here I'm stuttering all over.
Well, they're supposed to be soft.
Yeah, exactly. I just pour them in the ketchup and stir it up. I don't even cook them. I just crunch away. No. I think my mom and my grandma both made, they have different versions they would make. And like crock pots, simmering all day, all this stuff. Neither okay. one of those barbecue style, but I have had them at places too where they are homemade and then they'll be thrown, the whole thing will be thrown into the smoker. Actually, my dad does that every now and then with a recipe he has. Fantastic when you add a little bit of that smoke flavor, but it, you know, think of like, even if you took a regular, if you like Bush's, say baked beans with onion or whatever, bacon and onion in there, make those like you normally would, but throw them on a smoker for 20 minutes.
Infuse some extra smoke.
Infuse that flavor. Oh man.
Like, yeah.
So
that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, number eight, another side dish. We got potato salad.
Now
depends on who made it, in my opinion.
I
don't make this stuff, but family does. So at those kind of get togethers, you try a little sample first to see if it sucks.
And I will eat it. Yeah. My wife won't make it. My wife doesn't eat it. And so, and I, as such, I don't make it at home either. My mom makes it and I'll eat it if it's my mom's. If it's anybody else's, I won't. Just because it's one of those things that, not that hers is the best in the world,
but
it's that I trust it was made and not left sitting out or, you know, something like that. Cause so many times, man, I don't know. And potato salad is all right, but I'm not like, I would pass on that most of the time.
All right. Well, I would pass on this next one.
So number seven is the coleslaw. So you would pass on the coleslaw. I like a good coleslaw, especially with barbecue.
I like it on top of a pulled pork sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a Memphis style sandwich.
You get that crunch in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think the key though is if it's good coleslaw, it's not going to be just like a mushy kind of, when they really finely chop up the cabbage and stuff. And it's kind of just a, like an ice cream scoop of ice cream. You know, it's really fine and textured like that. I like it when it's longer slices, you know, nice thin slices of cabbage, really well done. Little sweet, but a little tangy also. Then it's real good. And it goes good with almost any smoked meat, in my opinion.
Nice. I like the writing on here because it says, coleslaw may be the closest thing to health food at an old school barbecue joint where pitmasters don't call themselves chefs and don't offer hummus and kale. All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're getting into the meats.
Let's go.
This is what I was excited to talk about.
There we go.
Meats. Sausages.
Excited to talk about sausage, huh?
Apparently I am. I didn't mean to say it that way, but here we are.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
All right. Well, that's going to be emblazoned on the internet forever. Smoke and sausages have been allies ever since humans first learned to preserve meat by stuffing the ground trimmings into casings.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true. So, yes. Man.
Do you have a go-to?
Sausages are great. Nothing in particular. I mean, anything from, and I don't know if hot dogs is on this list, but I don't consider that one of the top barbecue foods. But
no.
A good sausage with good, you know, good pepper and spice in it, whether it's like a
Polish sausage style?
A non-pre-cooked brat.
Yeah.
It's pretty good stuff. But yeah, I do like Polish sausage. You can get like the sausage rings and stuff like that. Yep. I'll throw those on indirect heat on the grill. And
where do you stand on something like a porchetta sausage or?
Oh, usually at the end. Porchetta. Okay. I got to look up porchetta.
You haven't sausage. Had that? Do you remember the company? I know you haven't lived up here in a while, but a company called Fribonis.
That sounds really familiar.
They are a large company, but they make excellent sausage.
Porchetta.
And they basically take what you know as a porchetta and make it into sausage form that you grill. And they are very good. They have a whole bunch of varieties.
You can send me one. I'll try that out.
What I will do when I get a chance, I will put together a little Fraboni sampler pack when we have our craziness from the pandemic listed, and I'll drive you down a few different varieties you and the family can enjoy. So,
well, you can bring yours. We'll all enjoy.
Yeah. Right. Sounds like a good plan.
I do like, if you ever go to Famous Dave's, they have like the, I don't remember what they call it. They just have one of their meats is just this sausage link with this like Georgia mustard sauce. It's really good stuff. But
I had one. My one uncle's a butcher at a local grocery store, and so he does all the
in on
he's a meat cutter, but he does all their smoking, has all their recipes, all that stuff too. He had some venison this year made into some basically venison Polish sausage. Mm-hmm. Where it was mixed, I can't remember the percentages, but venison and pork, and then smoked and with their seasoning blend and everything else and natural casings. And then my dad took them and grilled them and on his Traeger, adding a little extra smoke, but not much because they were already smoked. And they cooked those up. And then my dad, he cooked up the whole batch and he said, "Hey, I've got a few of these left, you know, because we're quarantine." This is before I got sick. And he said, "I'm going to put two of them out here, come out and pick them up. And then you can bring them home and heat them up for dinner. They're already cooked." Okay. Sounds good. They were so freaking good. Just, I mean, and that was reheating them they'd already been grilled and then reheating them. Usually I'll eat it, but that's not the best way to have a sausage. But in that case, oh, they were so good.
Oh man.
Amazing.
That sounds awesome. I'd really love to get a Traeger grill, but they are so expensive.
Yeah. And you know, my dad loves his, but he also said that there's another brand that if he was going to do it over again, it's the same exact thing, performs the same way, and is about half the cost.
Oh, you'll have to send me.
Yeah, I'll see if I can check on that and find out what he says.
All right. Well, what do we have next?
Number five, you know, it's got to show up in any list of meats. Chicken.
Oh, love chicken.
I love chicken too, and I'm just not sure. A good barbecue chicken though is pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, but it's not.
Fried chicken, barbecue chicken.
I might have put chicken down at number 10 and put the ribs up a little higher.
You'd put chicken above coleslaw and potato salad?
Maybe. No, I'd bump potato salad to 10.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so potato salad, 10, beans stay at 9, coleslaw, and then I'd put chicken, and then sausages, and then on to whatever's next.
Not a huge chicken fan, huh?
I like it, but it just seems like it's such the... You can get chicken in every type of food, you know, any type of
breakfast
cuisine.
Breakfast chicken?
There's probably some kind of breakfast chicken recipe, quiche
breakfast
or something.
Cereal chicken.
Oh, breakfast cereal chicken. I don't know about that, but
all right.
But no, I mean, there's like Asian chicken. There's, you know, French cuisine. It chicken
it's
shows
universal.
Up. And, yeah, it's such a universal thing where it's good, but it's not standout enough.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll accept your challenge. You come down here.
I'll eat it. I didn't say don't like it. I just wouldn't put it as high on the list.
Well, you know what's higher on the list?
Mm-hmm.
Spare ribs. We already kind of talked about this, but number four is spare ribs.
Yes.
Which are fantastic. And of course, you can do either dry rub or sauce them up. Depending on where you go in the country, you can find all kinds of different rib recipes.
Yeah.
By far, the most superb rib I ever had. I always was a big fan of Famous Dave's.
Yeah.
But there's a restaurant, I can't remember the name of it, down in Nashville. It was like a smaller time one. And their ribs, for some reason, I mean, all of their food made Famous Dave's taste like McDonald's. It was so good.
Isn't that funny how you get being from up here in northern Minnesota, you get these restaurants that feel to us a little bit like, ooh, finally some real barbecue or some real Chinese food or whatever it is. And then you finally get a chance to have the real thing and you're like, what have I been tricked into thinking
exactly.
is real? It's when you thought
Martin's barbecue joint.
That's okay. Awesome. Yeah, it's like when you thought Olive Garden was like real Italian food.
Oh, yeah.
And you realize it's kind of not.
Yep. Martin's is only in Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, and South Carolina.
That away.
But oh my gosh, was that good stuff. So ribs, you can't really go wrong. And folks, here's a quick tip. If you don't have a grill and you want tender ribs and you have an Instant Pot, you can actually coil those bad boys up in there. Give them the dry rub, throw some sauce in there, 26 minutes. They will be retracted from the bone.
Wow.
They are, it's weird. It's weird because you take them out, you're like, how did this happen? Is Mark Wahlberg here? It's like, then you just sauce them and broil them to get some glaze on it, and you're done. But they are like fall off the bone tender.
Huh.
Oh, man.
So ribs getting two spots on the top 10 here.
Yep. Double ribs. Yep. And I just bought a quarter of beef to fill my freezer. And I've got beef ribs out in the freezer. I'm excited.
There you go.
All right. I sound like Arby's. We've got the meat.
We've got the meat. All right. So number three, we've got pork. And they're talking about either pulled or chopped pork. I don't know about the chopped pork. I guess I assume it's just pulled pork that they cut up smaller. But when they do that smoked pulled pork, man, and then they rip it apart with the forks and stuff. Oh, man.
The chopped is just chopped. It makes it easier to smaller pieces.
Shovel it.
Get barbecue sauce on top. It's good.
That's good stuff. Not a lot to say about it, but I think it's right at, well, at least so far, very appropriately placed at number three.
Well, number two deserves its rank because we're talking about brisket, folks. The mother of barbecue meats. You get it right, you get the ultimate kind of barbecue meat. You get the pink smoke ring on there. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm getting starving right now.
You get the burnt ends.
Yep. Your sauce of choice on there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat it every day, folks, but it is good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You can't eat that all the time. None of these foods you could eat all the time, but...
No. coleslaw, maybe potato salad? I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny that there's only...
You got other problems.
Well, when we get done with this list, I know we're about to hit number one. That's something I want to see if we can add. We'll talk about anything we would add or you know, whatever from this list. But think side dishes, too, because is there really only... Anyways, we'll get to that.
Well, cornbread.
Right.
It's good side dish, good fries.
Well, you know what? Since potatoes. We're, before we get to number one, peek at what number one is. You see
I
it?
I did.
Okay. Yep. I just saw it. I'm not going to, without spoiling number one, what would you add? I mean, talking side dishes, like you said, cornbread, probably like corn on the cob.
Oh, a good corn on the cob is, I mean, that seals the deal. Summertime meals are just fantastic. Corn on the cob.
What about a good waffle fry?
Waffle fries are good. I generally don't make them with my barbecue, but.
No, I've had them a few places with barbecue. They're like Dickie's barbecue and stuff. They'll do that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Or some kind of rolls or buns and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I like the cornbread.
Yeah, cornbread's a good call.
Let's see.
Anything, any other meats you would have, I mean, there's not much we had, but I mean, they don't have, although it's not really barbecue, but like any sort of steak or anything on here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or seafood. Yeah. I know it's not traditional like Texas barbecue, but a lot of people go crazy doing some barbecue smoked grilled salmon.
Oh yeah. Smoked fish is great.
Yeah.
A lot of options. You know, if you're squeezing it down to a top 10, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, some of that stuff.
Jumbo shrimp.
Would you agree?
A lot of the stuff you grill, but I wouldn't consider barbecue or something.
Right. Would you agree to take potato salad and throw it off the list and replace it with cornbread?
No. No, I mean.
Would you put cornbread on this top 10? And throw something else off the list?
I don't think I would in the context of like, this is what's in this top 10 is really what you'd want to see if you went.
Yeah.
Cornbread would just be like, oh, hey, they also have cornbread.
I know how we can do it.
Top 11.
No.
Cornbread.
We've got two different types of ribs on this list. Why not just say ribs in general?
Ribs.
Put the placing of it somewhere in between the two. Where they're, you know, where they're ranked and add cornbread. That would give you 10 still.
Well, there you go.
Boom.
Done. All right.
Should we get to number one?
I think we should.
All right. Number one. I don't know how I feel about this.
It's a weird number one.
It is. It felt like a big swerve at the end of a great movie.
Octopus. And
it is simply just barbecue sauce.
Arguably the best answer you could come up with, because it can make or break
anything.
Any of these dishes.
Yeah. So what's your go-to barbecue sauce style?
Sweet Baby Ray's, my absolute favorite.
Now, what's remind me, because I know I've had it, but I try a lot of different barbecue sauces. What is the, is that more of a sweet?
It's got some sweetness to it. It's got some tang.
Would they call that?
I don't know.
Because I know there's a lot of styles.
Barbecue sauce.
Yeah. It's a Texas barbecue sauce?
No. It's just a classic barbecue sauce.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a lot of different styles. It's, you know, you've got the Carolina vinegar style, like North Carolina.
I've made that and had that before.
Yeah, the Western North Carolina, like tomato vinegar sauce. South Carolina has a mustard base. Yep.
All the sauces have their different place. But,
right.
On things like ribs.
Sweet Baby Ray's, that might be more of a Kansas City, like tangy tomato based.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's really good, though. It's one of the most popular ones for a reason. It's probably the best-selling sauce there is.
I mean, the most popular type of barbecue sauce is going to be the one that's kind of a smoky sweet, which is probably more of a kind of Memphis-style, more of that sweet profile. I'm not a fan of real sweet barbecue sauces. I'm not going to lie. I don't mind them. Like I like just about all barbecue sauce, except for I've had a few that are real heavy with like not maple syrup, but what's the other molasses?
Oh, yeah.
And it's too sweet.
I'm gonna share an episode of Good Mythical Morning with you.
Yeah,
where they went through, they had a bunch of listeners submit their favorite barbecue sauces and they try them all out.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they include all some of the sauces we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. It obviously depends on what meat it's being used with a little bit. But yeah, yep. I tend to like that kind of, I don't like it real spicy. A little zip is good. More tangy, smoky. Yeah. Sweet Baby Ray's is real good.
Yeah. So these guys do like a bracketed thing where they're trying them all out. Sweet Baby Ray's, Kraft, KC Masterpiece, Jack Daniel's number 7, Stubbs, Head Country, Famous Dave's Original, and Bullseye. They try them all.
Yeah.
On some different foods. I think they got ribs in there.
Okay.
It's definitely one to check out. In fact, why don't I add that link to the show notes and you can take a look.
So YouTube. There we go.
Yep. It's a YouTube link. But yeah, that's our top 10. We're talking barbecue. Makes me want to have some barbecue.
Yeah. Hey, before you get out of here, I realized we almost forgot to do it again, unless you were just about to. We told people last week we were going to let them know what our next super review was.
Mm.
And we hadn't done that yet. So do you want to let people know what we came up with?
Yep. It's going to be that classic movie with, is it Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Falling Down.
Yes.
This is a guy rebelling and just kind of snapping. It's, if I recall it correctly, it was a pretty interesting movie. So if you've got time, folks, and you've got that movie, check it out, because when we do that review, you'll be able to follow right along with us.
Right. And that should be coming up. Let's see. So 1, 2, 3, not next Friday, the 8th, but Friday, the 15th of May is when we'll drop that.
Sweet.
So you got a couple weeks to get Falling Down watched.
Exactly. Well, in the meantime, enjoy yourself some barbecue. Maintain your social distance until you don't have to. And
yeah,
throw some fan theories out. Let us know what the strangest thing you ever found was.
Let us know if you've got some songs you want us to check out. And Jason,
exactly.
No, you cannot send us any ICP because it will not make the list.
Nope. Sorry, buddy.
We love you.
All right,
you,
guys.
But...
Have a good one. Stay safe. We'll catch you later.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you for joining us. and come back next week for another cracking episode of the Digital Soup Podcast. This has been a Digital Soup production.